Sup nerds, welcome to a surprise hotcakes episode on Powerful, a power metal podcast. We're gonna give some hot takes on some recent albums that came out, but first, some power metal news for you.
And what can be more power metal than news that are all themed around Fabio Leone?
the king of power metal, as I think I've heard him called.
What is the king of power metal up to? Is he still within his magic kingdom?
Well, if you remember like an episode or two ago, we reported that Magic Kingdom had brought on Fabio to be the new vocalist, because who doesn't bring on Fabio Leone to be the new vocalist? However, a few weeks ago, they just posted on their Facebook, and I quote, "Due to circumstances, we won't do the album with Fabio Leone." That's all she wrote.
I love this because it's literally just like these 10 words with no period at the end on Facebook on April 18, 2019.
Yeah, just
no
like,
explanation.
Oh, there you go. Nothing. That's it.
Because
that's
of it. Reasons, there's no more Fabio with Magic Kingdom.
And I believe they've also been doing a contest to guess the new vocalist.
Yeah,
wait, they already have a new vocalist lined up.
He's been recording for 3 weeks as of the 23rd of April.
So oh, that's amazing. Okay.
They definitely did a contest for people to guess him. I don't know if they revealed it yet or not, though.
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's currently 102 comments on who will sing on the new Magic Kingdom album thread on Facebook, which is our most number one reliable news source. Totes professional.
They did confirm it is not a German singer.
And he says he's not from Scandinavia.
And not a Scandinavian singer.
And he's also not Italian.
Running out of metal options.
How many, you know, I'm going to call it. It's what's his face from Heavenly.
The French guy?
Ben Soto?
Yeah.
No.
Yep.
They're not even from the same country. Is that allowed?
He's French. He's not.
Is Magic Kingdom Italian? They're Italian, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
But, you know, Germans and Swedes are not from Italy either.
Yeah, that's very true. Maybe it's the former Secret Sphere singer.
Really?
Their hometown on Facebook is Brussels, Belgium.
Oh, that's actually true. Their website is magic-kingdom.be.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, we don't know. Our geography and countries. Great.
America.
America and Argentina. We are in large countries and we don't need to go outside.
I just love how, like, curt and short this, like, nope, not happening, guys.
Not it. That's but it. We're still recording. Okay, well, if you want to find out all Magic Kingdom news, follow them on Facebook. Their threads seem pretty active, and yeah, that's all for that, I guess.
But you know what Fabio Leone actually is doing?
What is he doing?
He's recording an album with Luca Turilli and other former Rhapsody people who aren't named Alex Staropoli.
Oh,
everyone except him. So we'll start with the
that's kind of sad.
The new part of the story, which is the album announcement, including track listing. Thank God. So the album is out June 28th this year.
Yes.
And what's it called?
It is called
ridiculous.
Ahem. Zero Gravity, open parenthesis, Rebirth and Evolution, close parenthesis.
Wait, is it with parentheses or with like a colon?
Yeah,
oh no, it's with parentheses.
It's parentheses.
You're right.
It's parentheses in the post,
what?
But in the album art, there's no punctuation.
It's a subtitle.
There's just Zero Gravity in a larger font and Rebirth and Evolution in a smaller font.
That's a Turilli title if I've ever heard one.
It has 10 tracks. They didn't tell us how long it is. With various guests such as Elise Reed and Mark Basile, among others. The art was designed by Stefan Heilemann. He did Epica, Payne, and Lindemann art, among others. And the track listing, there's 10 tracks with songs such as Phoenix Rising, DNA, open parenthesis, Demon and Angel.
That's amazing.
No, this is not deoxyribonucleic acid. It's Demon and Angel.
Yeah, Demon and
oh my
Angel.
God.
Brilliant.
But the front cover of this album has like the double helix structure.
It has DNA, but not the DNA that they said.
It has it's a demon and an angel.
But it is both. It has the little double helix structure and like a woman coming out of it.
Where's the demon? Could be,
she's both.
She's both.
Probably the demon and the angel coming out of DNA. This is a very intelligently crafted title. And
you know, if you actually look at the double helix, it's a triple helix.
It also means that there's a male vocalist and a female vocalist doing a duet.
Oh, that's why. Because
this is the song with Elise Reed. Yeah, remember.
I'm pretty sure they just reworked the whole DNA thing back from there.
Oh my god!
And that's why we got this album art.
We've also got songs such as Decoding the Multiverse.
Oh, like decoding the genome.
I am. That's another song titled "I Am" to compete with Theocracies.
Is it going to have every sentence start with "I am"? I hope it does.
We'll have a competition about that, I'm sure.
Of songs that are called "I am." Okay.
DNA is the song with Elise Reed, so that's the duet song,
right?
"I am" has Mark Basile from DGM. And then there is a bonus track on the Digipack and 2LP edition featuring Sasha Paith, called Oceano.
Oceano.
Very cool. Oceano.
You gotta be Italian.
I'm sorry. I got my English in the way.
Your American English. Yeah. So, they've released a single so far from this album, and the single is Phoenix Rising. What did you guys think about it?
It was weird.
Weird.
It's an interesting song. I really like it.
Okay. I don't know what to think about it. I've listened to it a couple of times and I still haven't really formulated an opinion.
This sounds like a dense song to process.
It's not a straightforward affair.
It's the opening track too.
Yeah, it's the opening track. It sets the mood, I guess, for what's coming.
It gets me hyped.
Is it not straightforward as in like it's structurally confusing? Or it's
weird.
Just like, it's just super layered and there's
it's all
like
over
both
the place, really.
On.
It's both
things. It's just across the board weird.
Okay.
It's not, I don't think it's bad.
It's very complex.
You just haven't decided yet.
I just don't know how to feel about it.
There's a lot of pieces going on and like, I've heard it a couple times. I still need to hear it like in the home theater, good audio thingy. But I enjoy it, but sometimes it feels like, okay, you're trying too many things in a very short span of time.
It's got that Luca Turilli kind of pretentiousness to it.
Yeah, that sounds like a Luca Turilli.
Yeah. So it's not as expected. It's not original Rhapsody. It's Luca's.
Luca Turilli's too good for that now.
Yeah.
It definitely feels like Luca Turilli is playing the guitars though. So
cool.
Yeah.
The few guitars that are in there because the guitars are like just a texture thingy. It's all in the multi-layered orchestral beats and the vocals, and I hope other songs have more vocal tricks and stuff and effects. I'm like looking forward to that.
I just like listening to Luca Turilli and Fabio Loni working together again after all these years. They go together really well, I think.
Does it bring a tear to your eye?
It does. It makes my phoenix rise, I'll tell you that.
Ooh. Ooh. All right. So if you want your phoenix risen, look out for this new album on June 28, 2019 through Nuclear Blast Records. King Records in Japan and the rest of Asia. For Rhapsody 5th Edition, also known as Turilli Leone Rhapsody.
One fun thing is that in Spotify, the artist name is like fucked up and it's called Leone Rhapsody and Turilli as another artist.
No, really?
So you have Turilli, comma, Leone Rhapsody.
Yeah, I think Spotify gets all the Rhapsodies mixed up.
Yeah. It's very hard to find if you look for only Rhapsody.
If you just type in Rhapsody, like you'll get their first like 5 albums or something.
Well, the good albums, to be fair.
Yeah.
You get Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah,
if you just see Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, the top artist would be Rhapsody of Fire, Rhapsody, Luca Turilli's Rhapsody, and another Rhapsody with the Luca Turilli's Rhapsody artwork.
So many.
But you are looking for Leone Rhapsody on Spotify.
Okay, so they'll be under Leone Rhapsody.
Yeah.
On Okay, not Tirelli slash Leone Rossi. God, way to make this confusing.
Tip for
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Luca and Fabio.
Much easier to look for an album than for Rhapsody.
If only they could have named a band something else, but it's
after
nah.
like Foot Armor or something like that. That'd be a good
after thing. Foot yeah. Armor. Oh, Foot yeah. speaking of a band named after Foot Armor, what's our favorite Foot Armor band been up to so far?
Favorite?
Favorite.
We need to find are. Another one.
You have other Foot Armor bands that you like?
I'm sure I could find one.
Yeah, let's find one.
okay. If you didn't really, if our listeners didn't catch this so far, we're talking about Sabaton. And Sabaton is a kind of Foot Armor, and that makes sense. But our Swedish brethren have been working on an album called The Great War.
I was so close. I really
yeah,
was.
Yeah, Biscuit guessed War of the Wars.
That wasn't Biscuit.
That was Kyle.
Was that Biscuit?
That was
oh
Kyle.
Those we all Kyle. Sound the same.
Sorry. Yeah, we do sound the same.
No.
Sorry, Kyle.
Andrew came up with the date. I came up with the title. And I was damn close saying
my
the
date
war,
was
the war
wildly off
as opposed to the Great War.
I'm pretty sure they heard us saying it and then they changed it last minute.
To the Great War.
To a synonym. Like it's the same thing. But they just
I mean, it has World nothing War to do with World War One and how it was called the Great War or anything.
Nope. And like it was like the war to end war, wasn't it? I basically
the war
was
of
right.
the wars.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
Man.
All right. So if I wanted to listen to The Great War, I would be able to find it. Released by also Nuclear Blast Records, I think, on July 19th, 2019.
Which makes a lot more sense than September because Sabaton Open Air is at the beginning of August.
Oh, that's true. They would want their album out
yeah,
before
Yeah, they probably
their
want
festival.
To drop their album before their festival where they
yeah,
headline.
Yeah, we should have thought of that when we made that prediction.
We should have fought when we made that yeah. prediction.
yeah. But before then, if you want to hear how they sound like, you can listen to their old albums or you can listen to these two new singles. So the first one is called Fields of Verdun.
Verdun,
sorry. What do you guys think about Fields of Verdun?
Yeah.
It was Sabaton.
It's not very descriptive.
it's pretty descriptive. If okay, you're familiar with Sabaton, you'll be familiar with the song already.
Yeah, you probably heard it already.
Oh,
yeah, it sounds
okay.
a lot like Ghost Division.
I'm not sure if it's Ghost Division, but...
I was getting Ghost Division vibes.
I wasn't getting Ghost Division vibes.
No, I wasn't
so that's what
at
people
all.
Told me.
That's Ghost Division, but that's not what this song sounds like.
This has like an extra like syllable in it. It says like it has like four syllables. It just add a little da at the start.
Yeah, but the whole harmony and the guitar riff is different.
Okay, so it's inconclusive that this is Ghost Division Part 2, but nonetheless, it's worth a listen. There's also a music video.
Okay, can we talk about their
nice.
Music videos real
well,
quick?
There's a music video
crazy
for
production
Fields of
value.
Burden.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see that one.
It's like a World War I reenactment.
It's gonna be linked in the show notes. I've linked it at our notes. Feel free to click on it.
Like, I'm gonna complain about this more when we do the proper music video episode, but I really generally don't like it when bands put sound effects music videos because it's like I'm just trying to
listen to the music
and then there's like a random like explosion or gun sound that's not synchronized properly.
I think Sabaton does that more than everyone else.
Sabaton does it a lot. Like yeah. their video for Primo Victoria is fucking trash because they have like tank sounds.
This
it.
Used to be like the standard back in the late 90s and early 2000s for pop music. Every video had sound effects and just like story in the middle of the song. So say you wanted to listen to NSYNC's Bye Bye Bye, and if it was the version from the video, it was all chopped up and it had random car sounds and fights.
Oh yeah, there was like the long intro.
Yeah, and you always had to find the right version, the one that is not from the music video, because all the songs were chopped up and full of of sound effects. So it seems it's coming back.
Yeah, Jesus. That's interesting. The story music video is coming back. Yeah, I guess we'll talk about this more in our music video episode, but it's like doing a, you know, the story music video versus this is the band just playing music video.
Yeah.
Oh, look, there's even like facts about the Battle of Verdun. If you want, and you know, history facts along with your foot armor music.
I was going to say, I do like that you can hear the guitar more in Fields of Verdun more than you can in most modern Sabaton songs.
Yeah. So I thought this sounded pretty good, actually, which is surprising.
Swing in the right direction, perhaps.
Yeah. Nice job. Yeah. And Bismarck, which is their other music video and single. They released two music videos, and they're both like pretty high production.
Disclaimer, Bismarck is not on the album. It is a standalone single used to promote World of Warships, the video game.
Oh,
that's
okay,
where all
cool.
the budget came from, yeah.
Oh, I see. That's why they were able to afford like two massive.
Yeah, it's like they didn't pay for it. They were paid to make the song and to play for
or at least that's our assumption.
Yeah, that's most likely what happened.
It is marketing for World of Warships. We don't know how much they paid for it. We don't know if this was a commissioned song or if they had already had the song done.
It says produced by World of Warships, I think.
Yeah, produced by Wargaming.
Because Blind Guardian did this same thing, what, last year or the year before?
When they made the dwarves, yeah.
They made a song for the dwarves.
But it's still written by the band, yeah?
Yeah, like, of course. Like, it's a Sabaton song. But this happens a lot. People maybe are not very used to thinking about it, but a lot of bands in all levels get songs that are initially commissioned by someone. So someone comes, hey, I have this movie. Would you make a song for our movie? And they end up making it, and maybe then it's part of an album and you know it because of the band. But this happens.
Yeah. I think that's kind of cool when like movies and musicians or like games and musicians work together. It's pretty cool.
Speaking of people working together, it's really weird that the band Apocalyptica released a cover of Fields of Verdun a couple days before Sabaton released
and
the song.
Not only that, it was posted on the official Sabaton YouTube channel as well. Yeah. Not on Apocalyptica's YouTube channel that
Could
I assume
it be
they
that
have.
They are friends and they
but
are
promoting
okay
his song
with
a cover of it from a very different band.
The marketing for this new Sabaton album is fucking weird. Next level.
So for those of you who don't know, Apocalyptica is like a project with four cellos.
Mm-hmm.
Is that the right thing that I'm
It's cello covers of metal music.
I swear to God, I haven't heard the name Apocalyptica since like
2008.
Yeah. I totally forgot about them. That's amazing. I'm glad they're still around wearing like tight leather pants and like doing Hall of the Mountain King and doing Sabaton apparently.
The marketing for this album is like some next level shit. There's been like six teasers for the first single.
Teasers?
Yeah, like there were like teasers.
Prior to the video even coming out?
Like 20-second clips of Fields of Verdun. There were like three or four of those. There was the Apocalyptica cover that came out a couple days beforehand. I think there was actually an Australian leak the day before it came out that they did on top of.
Oh, so it's the album's already leaked?
No, just the single came out like...
Oh, the single.
Came out like 16 hours before it should have. Because Australia got it first because of region locking.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
I'm seeing that Apocalyptica is one of the headliners at Sabaton Open Air 2019.
Really?
Yeah. Yo. It says so in the description of the video.
Huh.
So that's probably...
Maybe they're best friends.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows?
Do you think we'll see like Northtail release a Sabaton cover as well?
That would be really fun.
Yeah, like it should be on the table now. This is our theory now that
everyone that's playing at Sabaton Open Air,
our best friends.
You know, that could be like, that's interesting. It's like
that'd be good marketing.
Like, it's like
actually
the powerful like Powerwolf's album that had an extra CD with covers by other bands of their songs, right?
Yeah, that was kind of neat.
So,
because now you're like double, triple, quadruple, eight tuple dipping into like 10 different bands' fan bases that you may or may not already have access to.
Yeah, it's actually
cross
not a good
promotion.
Idea.
It's a great idea.
That's really good marketing.
People love anime crossovers, right? This is like the power metal version of anime crossovers.
It's like the power metal Avengers.
Power metal Avengers.
The most ambitious crossover in media history right here.
Yeah, not Avengers. I mean, that was so like last weekend. Right? Okay, we won't spoil that for you or anything if you haven't watched it already. But yeah, check out, be on the lookout for Sabaton and Sabaton covers. from their new album, The Great War, out this summer.
And their tour.
I can't do the movie guy's voice. And their tour. Oh my gosh. Sabaton and Hammerfall announced North American tour for October. And I will put a link in the show notes with some of the dates of North America. And to our non-North America listeners, you guys get way more shows than us anyway, so we can be excited about this one.
It's like probably guaranteed that you're getting this tour anyway. Just
not
with the same bands.
Probably with some permutation of Sabaton, Hammerfall, and Friends.
But you'll get all of the individual bands at some point, so don't be salty.
Yeah. It'll happen. Yeah, we still love you. You get more tours than us, and we're salty.
Yeah.
So what's the Hammerfall announcement?
So Hammerfall is releasing an album, Dominion. It's out August 16th. They released a new single to promote it called We Make Sweden Rock. It's a classic Hammerfall.
That sounds like an anthem. Arena metal banger.
It's a classic Hammerfall arena metal banger. It's got cool art. Hector's got fucking angel gear on from Diablo 3.
Oh, so that's cool.
His hammer has spikes on it now.
Yeah. He's got angel wings and big spiky armor. It's great. A Diablo 3 character.
The Anvil has a smiley face.
Isn't Hammerfall's art done by some guy who worked on WoW or something like that?
I have no idea. Possibly. It does look kind of like Blizzard art design.
I'm pretty sure that's true.
Oh, and the art for this single, it has the Kingdom of Sweden's triple crown on it. It's kind of cool.
It makes the Anvil look like a kitten. Yeah.
Meow.
When you see the Anvil and he has the two ears to the sides and eyes and the mouth are the crown.
I see what you're saying.
It's like a meow.
All right. Well, we have that to look forward to.
quick read on the press release. Hammerfall will release a new album titled Dominion on August 16, 2019 via Napalm Records. The group unleashed We Make Sweden Rock, the first single off Dominion, on May 3rd. Listen to it on YouTube. We'll link it in the description. How do you pronounce his name?
Joakim Cans
describes the creation of We Make Swedish Rock. This is a glorious tribute to the Swedish hard rock and metal movement with a lyrical theme using direct references to both other bands and songs. With catchy, contagious riffs and enchanting earworm melodies, this song will be an instant classic at future Hammerfall shows. Without the Swedish rock and metal scene with bands like Heavy Load, At the Gates, and Yngwie Malmsteen, the world would be a pretty boring and dull place. This is our noble tribute to all the bands that inspired not only us to play metal, form bands, and eventually crusading around the world in the name of heavy metal. All hail the Sons of the Northern Light. They also unleashed the track listing. There's 12 tracks, no runtime.
That's a cute description.
Sounds pretty heartwarming. Shout out to, I don't know, basically everybody.
Shout out to Sweden.
Heavy metal. Literally all of Sweden.
And Sabaton does have a comment. Great one, guys. And we're so looking forward to the upcoming US-Canada tour with you. How sweet.
That should be a fun tour.
Yeah, I've seen
both of them live before, and it was fun.
Hammerfall plays a good show.
Yeah, surely, they've been doing it for 30 years.
Yeah, they've been doing it for 30 years. They've got to play a good show at this point.
Sounds fun. Be sure to catch them on the tour. Links in our show notes and stuff, which you can find on our website, which is powerful-podcast.com, where you will also find all of our previous episodes. If you want to reach out to us or see all of our posts and announcements, be sure to follow us on Facebook at Powerful Podcasts and also on Instagram at Powerful Podcasts. And if you are enjoying yourself on this show and you want to help us out a little bit, find us on Patreon at Powerful Podcasts, and you can donate $1 monthly. $1 is very helpful. So if you want to support us not monetarily, you can also write a review on iTunes. That really helps us out. That really helps us out a lot. So I think that's all we have in terms of news and our announcements.
One more thing. If you are a small band and would like to reach out to us to maybe talk about your thing, give us an email. It's on our Facebook. contact@powerful-podcast.com.
Oh, yeah. We should add that to our
love getting
intro routine
stuff.
Or if you're a big band, reach out to us, too. Just saying.
Yeah, or if you're a big man.
Yeah, we've had a lot of bands reach out to us and we've had a good time. And if you look at our episode backlog, we've had a lot of like really cool conversations and chill interviews with bands. So if you wish that was you hanging out with us, reach out to us. Because we're really fun, you know. So in the next part of this episode, we'd like to review three powerful recent releases. So Tanagra is a band from Portland, Oregon, and we talked to them on the show, and they released an album called Meridium on April 26, 2019.
If you'd like to know more about the album and the specifics on it, go ahead and listen to that episode real quick.
Yeah, episode 22, A Conversation with Tanagra.
Yeah, you'll find like the story behind an album. But we talked to them before the album was released, and they got us really hyped for this album. So first impressions, what do you all think?
Overall, I really like it.
I like it.
This is like really good, well done, proggy, power-ish metal. I guess prog power, if you had to get so bold.
Yeah.
Like
they were our first progtastic interview guests.
Yeah, progtastic. Yeah, this album, I was okay, this album is progtastic.
It's very progtastic.
Yeah, it's extremely progtastic. And to be more specific, I don't know. I really liked it. It had a ridiculous, it had a really wide dynamic range. I don't like fucking check the numbers because that's stupid. But the softs are soft and the highs are really intense. And each song is like 15 minutes long, which is ridiculous.
There's one 4-minute song, which is like the most standard power metal.
That's it. Yeah. That's
yep.
So the next shortest song is over 7.5 minutes.
It's like 8 minutes or something.
With the longest being 14. Yeah. So.
Yeah. So they write long ass songs with unconventional structures. But to me, it never really feels this disjointed. Like they go back to recurring like melodies and every song is actually so different.
Yeah,
agreed.
I don't know. To me, it just seems really well crafted. I love this album.
Musically, this album really shines. Like all the crazy things that guitars and keyboards do, the way they play off each other, it really, even though the songs are long, they don't get boring. Each one feels like a journey. And especially like when you hit the end
really
of songs,
journey.
Like even like the fucking 14-minute long closer Witness, when you hit the end of that song, it feels like you won and you're happy. Like, because it really works well.
And when you, that song Witness, it doesn't hold your hand at the end either. It just clocks out.
Oh my gosh. None of these songs like, hold your hand. Cause like it just goes from soft guy singing to blast beats and trumpet arpeggios.
Yeah.
And then suddenly there's like a jazzy acoustic section. And then suddenly we go back into double kick drums. It's like wild.
With Witness specifically, it does all of the things that the album has been doing thus far, and then it gets to the end and where the other songs kind of had an outro lead out, you know, to go into the next one, and how a lot of albums will generally have an outro lead out at the end of the album. Witness just ends. It doesn't like try and lead you out gently out of the album. Oh, the album's ending now. You're expecting more, but it just stops. And it left me wanting more, honestly. That sounds like a review. Jeez.
That is a great review.
I think one of the more interesting songs on here is Across the Ancient Desert, which has, I think they mentioned on the interview, it's almost like black metal.
Yeah.
I agree with that.
With like blast beats and trem picking.
Yeah. I think that's my favorite track. So this album is obviously ultra prog AF, and it's definitely the vocalist softness and his like airy tone, and also the guitar tone sounds airy, might like be off-putting to a lot of people, but keep listening, pay attention, and don't be fooled. This album is a fucking monster.
If I had to levy one criticism, I'm not too big on the vocals of this album. They're not bad, they just kind of, I think they're kind of boring. Like they're just there, they don't really shine in any way for me.
I can agree with that, except I don't think the vocals were ever the strong point.
Yeah, the vocals
of the
are
album.
Not the, the focus. Yeah. This isn't your catchy like fucking Sabaton chorus album,
right?
Like, kind of album. Like I think the vocalist goes through a variety of different styles. He has the soft airy sound, but he can also like he really delivers on some of the tracks.
And
like he gets really
even
intense.
If he is like boring
he gets
times.
Gritty.
even if he can be boring or like low energy at times, I think he really does a great job at like holding everything together.
Oh yeah. I don't really like the word boring.
It's like a soothing kind, I guess.
Yeah, I don't really like the word boring to describe it, but I do like the word low energy and soothing.
He's like the rice paper to the album's spring roll. He's holding the whole thing together at times. He's the one point of consistency that'll like keep you grounded in all of the weird shit that they're doing.
Rice paper in a spring roll is fantastic.
Yeah, in my mind, this is probably a bad idea, but I was kind of mentally comparing it to like Seventh Wonder albums, which you're not going to stand up to Tommy Karavik, who's like vocals are like the main shining point of like their music.
Yeah, but these are like the point of Seventh Wonder is not. I don't know. I just think the style is just so dramatically different. And like, you can't just say prog this and prog that.
Right.
Like prog doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
I don't listen to a huge amount of prog, but this might get me into it.
But they're just so different. Like prog is so not descriptive. So I don't know.
Yeah, prog is a genre and it shouldn't be a genre. It should be like 8 million genres.
Yeah, it should be 8 million genres. And
or not a genre
To wrap up this review, I give it 5 blast beats in a field of green meridians. And I'm going to end it right there, just as the album ended. So,
Perfect.
Next.
Paladin is a band from Atlanta, Georgia, and they have not had an album yet. This will be their debut. I think they had an EP. And what I've been hearing from people in Georgia and in touch with the Georgia metal scene is that Paladin is the best band in Georgia right now, in power metal at least. So there are very high expectations for this album. It comes out May 10th. And the album is fucking awesome.
Dude, these guys sound great.
This album is it rips. It that's what it does.
Yeah.
It's some Beyblade shit.
Yeah, so be on the lookout for the Paladin album called Ascension. I think it's I looked on Metal Archives. It says their first
May 17?
Their first full-length release. It's out May 17, 2019. Yeah. May 17, 2019, Paladin Ascension. And their picture, the guy's wearing like a Hunter t-shirt. So I don't know, maybe they like anime. But their first opening track sounds totally like Japanese power metal. Inspired.
It has the J-rock flavor, the Japanese heavy metal style, I'm going to say. Because it
really, that shredding style. Yeah.
It immediately reminded me of Sex Machine Guns and that kind of heavy metal, very hyped up and almost happy heavy metal in the way that it's riffing.
Yeah, it's like really aggressive. It's like really like a major key. And vocalist has like a ton of vibrato.
The vocals are interesting
in
this
album. It's just like very intense.
The vocals are really interesting and diverse in this album.
Oh, definitely diverse.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Awakening just like, you know, starts you off with like it's pretty melodic and like all clean vocals, but they don't fuck around with the harsh vocals. Like there's harsh vocals everywhere in the rest
there's,
of the album.
I think there's death growls on every song on this album.
Almost every song, I would say.
Almost every song.
It sounds more like a the Fry Scream type of harsh rather than the low growl stuff. There's a low growl thing in like one of the one with the call and response, Call of the Night.
I like love the like ending section of Call of the Night where it does like the call and response whoa-ohs. I'm a real sucker for that. Yeah. That's one of my favorite songs on the album.
And I think that the Black Omen track is about Chrono Trigger, but I might just be like...
Why is it about Chrono Trigger?
I don't know. Wishful thinking. Because Chrono Trigger has a ship called the Black Omen in it. And I was trying to listen to the lyrics and there was something about enlightened ones drawing energy from the beast and the queen of the skies maddened by the power of the gods. It's Queen Zeal, yo.
That sounds pretty Chrono Trigger-y.
Yeah, that's like the Dark Age section of Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, it's fucking Chrono Trigger, yo.
I think Vagrant is a song about Malazan, Book of the Fallen.
Are we just listening for things that we like? It could be.
Well, I mean, the artwork looks like Final Fantasy, so...
Oh my god, the artwork is like super Final Fantasy-y.
I feel like it doesn't really fit the style of the album.
I don't think it does.
Or maybe
no,
it does.
It's perfect. Shut up.
It's like a pastel-y, like turquoise
I love it, though.
And purple thing.
It's amazing. It's beautiful.
I love every aspect
of it.
Cool.
Like,
it's a Night Elf Demon Hunter in the style of...
In the style of like
Final Fantasy cover art. The start screen
art, yeah.
I don't think it fits the album at all.
I think another.
I don't think it does either. But it's really good.
It's beautiful. But yeah, but it.
I'm not going to argue with it.
Yeah. Another favorite song in here of mine is Fall From Grace. It's like got this super melodic like guitar lines through it. Some crazy shredding.
Yeah. Like, Fall From Grace. I wrote my notes for fans of arpeggios.
I think Fall From Grace might be my favorite song on the album. It's real tough to pick though. I always like to try and pick a favorite and it never really works out.
Yeah. I don't know what my favorite is. This album is really cool. I would give it 5. Fuck. I didn't think of this in advance. I thought of the other one in advance. I thought it was really clever. I really like it. Okay. I don't know what to rate it.
just rate it 5.
5. Just the number 5.
What? Yeah. I don't know. You decide.
I don't know what the scale is, but I'm going to give 5. It a number. I'm just going to give it a number. 5
hunters out of hunters.
Yeah.
5 hunters out of
hunters. 5 hunters out of hunters.
4 fans of sick riffs.
4 fans of sick riffs, harsh vocals, and...
And just pure heavy metal fan. That's...
And Chrono Trigger. Yeah. And Malazan. Yeah.
Potentially.
Potentially.
Yeah, it's the Chrono Trigger of metal. Oh, maybe not that good.
But. Oh my God.
That's like something real big. You can't
just
throw
legendary.
That out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't say that. I'm sorry.
All right. Do we want to talk about Ravenous real quick?
And then we've got one more. Ravenous EH, Eat the Fallen. That came out last Friday.
Same day as Tanagra's, the 26th. It,
Ravenous Eat the Fallen, they are from Calgary, Alberta. Calgary's a city, right?
Correct. Calgary, yes, Alberta,
we talked about this.
I forgot. I thought it was a province, but I don't know Canadian geography because I'm bad.
No one knows and Canadian geography.
This album by Ravenous was released on April 26, 2019. What do you guys think?
I really like this album as well.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I think it was my favorite album of the month.
AOTM.
Yeah, I go back and forth on this and Tanagra for album of April, so to speak. But getting into what this album is like, it's very fast and aggressive, but it has this, I really like what they do with the keyboards in this album, where it has this like really epic like backdrop to it. It has like an explosiveness to each of the songs that just makes it really exciting to listen to.
A bunch of the songs feel frantic too. Conquering the Sun, their single, obviously. That song gets frantic as fuck towards the end. But a lot of the other songs have like that speeding up and losing control kind of feel, but they're not actually losing control. I don't know if I'm describing that well at all.
No, that's controlled chaos. Really good. I like it.
I think that's a good way to put this album.
But it gets, yeah, controlled chaos. It gets chaotic, but it's always reined in and deliberate.
I really like the whole album. They have many songs that are really cool. And in contrast to Paladin, the album art from Ravenous, Eat the Fallen, it perfectly describes what the album sounds like. And it's amazing that how good the art goes with the sound that they got for the album.
This kind of darker style of power metal, I guess.
Yeah, but it has that mid-range, that grittiness.
The guitars
are old school.
To this album, it's fast and melodic, but it's also like...
It's an interesting song on this album is the third one, Doom Holds the Key, which is this like really like haunting, slower style of track as well.
It's apparently a Manowar like love song.
Is it?
Yeah, it's very Manowar influenced is what I've been told.
Huh. Isn't that the one that has a whole bunch of Manowar lyrics at the start?
I think it might be. I didn't really like that song very much, but I think that was the one song I didn't really like, but you know, whatever.
Mm. Yeah, these guys have like half of the same members as Viathan, another band that we talked about a while back.
Yeah.
And I really like the second to last song, the penultimate song on this album, A Tale of Good Omens. It has like this crazy catchiness that Viathan also had in a lot of their songs.
Mm. Yeah. One thing that I've noticed, and especially with 2 songs, one was Mercenary, is that if Sabaton made power metal, this is what it would sound like.
Yeah, I agree.
The keyboards are kind of like Sabaton, but it's still mostly like guitar driven and faster with those deeper vocals.
Yeah.
This is the power metal Sabaton.
Yeah, definitely. that's it.
Conquering the Sun is going to be a fucking banger live.
Fucking love Conquering the Sun.
And then there's a super secret bonus track for people to buy the physical edition.
Oh, yeah.
Can we talk about the super secret bonus track? Are we allowed to do that?
Yeah, it's on YouTube. It's fine.
We need to talk about the super secret bonus track.
So we can't talk about it, right?
I was explicitly told by someone in the band to pirate the bonus track. So I think it's fine.
What? Okay. Yeah.
He wants people to listen to it.
There's this like sick cover of Bard's Song in the Forest.
Yeah. It's like a heavy, fast version of the Bard's Song. It's super fucking cool. I've never heard a cover Bard song like that, and it just makes it a really cool way to end the album if you have the fancy, totally not pirated version.
Go ahead and buy it from their store. It's great.
For real. This is your reward. Yeah. Ravenous, Eat the Fallen. We are going to link all of the albums we reviewed in the show notes so you can find them on their Bandcamp pages and stuff and purchase the albums because they're really good. We liked all three of the albums we reviewed today. It's a fucking miracle. Yeah,
this is the only time we've ever like been overwhelmingly positive about like
2019, man. 2019 is a good year.
This is a happy day.
It's a stack.
2019 is stacked for power metal.
Yeah.
Definitely.
A lot of amazing stuff coming out soon. Although reviewing bad albums is also fun for me. this was fun too.
To wrap Ravenous, let's go around since this is the last one. It's the big review. What's everyone's favorite tracks? Stella.
What? Don't call me out.
What's your favorite track?
Favorite track. Favorite track is Conquering the Sun.
All right. Fernando, favorite track. Don't think about it.
Not think about it. Mercenary, just because that's the one I remember the name of.
Yes.
Kyle, favorite track.
Number one is Conquering the Sun, follow-ups, Mercenary, and Beyond the Ice.
The Bard Song.
All right, so I'm going to do three now since he set three.
I'm cheating.
Adrift, Strength of a Warrior, and Conquering the Sun. Strength of a Warrior is awesome because Rav does a crazy vocal thing at the end.
Cool. What would you rate it? Three bards out of Hungry Vulture Rats.
I'm going to rate it six split tongues out of six.
Oh.
Because of I see the picture.
The singer has a split tongue.
Oh, okay, cool.
Does he? That's metal.
Split tongue. Yeah, that's metal as fuck, dude.
And then a couple sixes.
All right.
This album, it makes me want to conquer the sun.
That just about wraps up our episode. We hope you liked what you heard and find us on the social medias at Powerful Podcast, wherever you can think of. And this episode was totally brought to you by our lovely supporters at Patreon.
We've got a couple new Patrinos to shout out.
Yeah.
We've got Connor from the UK. Thanks, Connor. We've got Jesse from Arizona. Thanks, Jesse. And we've got Emily and James from They Didn't Say Where.
From the internet. So
thanks, Emily and James.
Yeah. Thank you to all of our current Patreon Patreonos. And we love you and we want you all to stay powerful.
Stay powerful.